This is Tommy Hooker, and you found Pure Country, KEQX, 89.7, Stephenville, Hamilton, and Carlton.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This program is brought to you each week by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, as well as the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Welcome to the Harrison Clark Expedition through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and I'm here with my co-host, Kerry Clark. And friends, this is a live call-in talk radio show, and we are on KEQX 89.7. If you want to call in, please take down this number, 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. Now, our motto here on the Harrison Clark Expedition has always been, you have heard what men have had to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. So if you have any question concerning what we're talking about tonight, or any question in general concerning the Bible, just call in and let us have your question. Now, you can always you can also email us at keqx@rocketmail.com, and we are streaming live on the web. At you can go to harrisonclark.org, and you can click on the KEQX, I guess, what do you call it, Kerry? It's a tab or...
Yeah, a link.
KEQX link, or you can go through Facebook, and you can also click on the KEQX link on Facebook and join us there that way as well. We have been looking at the seven keys to personal growth. And we're going to be looking in Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, or verse 1 through 12, I guess is what it's going to be. That's going to be the text of our lesson today. But when we're talking about the seven keys to personal growth, we're talking about our spiritual growth. And so far, we have noticed that we first must be loyal, and then we've got to be responsible, and then we've got to be courageous. And last week, we noticed that we had to be determined. And this week, we're going to notice that we've got to have initiative in order to accomplish God's will in our life. Now, when we're talking about accomplishing God's will, we're talking about accomplishing what God would will us to be and will have us to do. Now, the word initiative itself has a definition, and it means readiness to embark on bold new ventures. And so we've got to have initiative. And if we want to be revived, we've got to have initiative. Someone has written, and I do believe this is true, if there is a need to be revived for us to have initiative, if all the sleeping folks would wake up, and all the lukewarm folks would fire up, and all of the dishonest folks would confess up, and all of the disgruntled folks would sweeten up, and all the discouraged folks would cheer up, and all of the depressed folks would look up, and all of the estranged folks would make up, and all of the gossipers would hush up, and all of the delinquents would pay up, and the members study up, and all the dry bones liven up, and all the preachers would speak up, and all the true soldiers would stand up, then there would be a great revival, and friends, we could work on our initiative. Now, Kerry, why don't you explain to us what initiative is and maybe give us a good biblical example of initiative?
Well, you know, initiative, as we said just a moment ago, is that readiness to embark on bold new ventures. You know, as you stop and think about that, friends, Christianity is about doing. David, you and I have talked about this many, many times, but it seems like that we have a philosophy that's developed where, you know, we just kind of ride the pew. Mm-hmm. And we sit there in the pew and we don't do anything, outside of coming together and worshiping God. And folks, what we're talking about is if we're going to live the Christian life, sometimes we've got to step out of this little box that we're comfortable in and step out and move out and do some things. And we have a pretty good example of that, friends. If you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, and we're going to begin our reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And again he," and that's talking about Jesus, "entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised abroad that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And David," listen to this, I love this part, "and he preached the word unto them." You know, David, we said just a moment ago in that little opening statement that if the preachers need to learn to speak up, Jesus was a man who preached the book.
Absolutely.
And he preached it without fear, and he preached it without favor. Mark 2 and verse 3, it says, "They come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was carried or borne of the four. And when they could not come near unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay." David, you know, I don't know. I've seen some strange sights when I've been preaching. Actually had people have heart attacks, and one lady had a stroke, you know, I guess. But, you know, you see strange things, but I've never seen anybody trying to get into the house to hear preaching where they tear up the ceiling and let somebody down.
No, that's something I haven't seen. I don't have that many people tearing down the door to get in.
Yeah, that's right. But, folks, listen to verse number 5. And listen carefully, Mark 2 and verse 5, "When Jesus saw their faith." Now, David, we're going to have a lot to say about that in just a few moments. Mm-hmm. But, friends, we need to understand that if you are doing what God said, people are going to know it and they're going to see it. And if people are not seeing your faith, then, friends, you need to make some changes in your life. And so it says, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reason within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk." Now listen to verse 10, folks. Mark 2 and verse 10. "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Now, David, there's so much material in that that we could spend literally hours breaking it down and looking at it. But two things jump out. The fact that Jesus saw their faith, and then the fact that Jesus has the power to forgive sins. While he was on this earth, friends, right, he could forgive sins in the way that he chose.
Right.
David?
Well, getting back over here where he saw their faith, and what he's telling us here is that a faith has action. Faith is more than just a passing.
That's right.
A passing thought that goes through somebody's mind. And you know, a lot of people, when you talk to them about coming to services and coming to services on Sunday morning as we're commanded to do, and Sunday evening and Wednesday evening, and when people finally get to the point where they're doing all of those things, they say, "Man, I'm really trying. And they've only just begun. They haven't done anything only except what has been required of them is all that they've done. And it kind of reminds me of a kid playing football, that never really had to try real hard. And then all of a sudden, he thinks he's trying real hard. And the coach says, "No, you're not trying at all." And he finds another three gears after that.
That's right.
And what a lot of people find out is that they look at their Christian faith, their Christian belief, their, their Christianity in general, and they think that they're really trying when in actuality all there is in granny gear. They need to get up and get up out of the pew and do something about their Christianity. And what we have here is Jesus kind of proving this to us when he saw their faith. He saw their faith in action because they were doing something about what they believed in.
Yeah, you're right, David. And you stop and you think about that, folks. As we said a moment ago, you know, people should know that we're a Christian by the things that we do. And, you know, David, if somebody has to go up to you and ask you where you stand on an issue, do you think you're really showing your faith?
No.
You know, David, we've had a pretty good discussion recently about some current events that's going on. And you stop and you think about it, friends, when people have to come up and ask you, well, how do you feel about this or how do you feel about that? Maybe we need to let people know where we stand.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the great things that we've been able to do here on this show is to allow people to know where we stand and where the Bible says should stand. It doesn't make any difference what we think, but what the Bible thinks and what the Bible has to say about where we stand on issues such as the homosexual issue that we've been dealing with for the last 3 weeks.
You know, David, we're talking about initiative, and that's where we are stepping outside of maybe our comfort zone, and we're starting to do things that God commands us to do. You know, David, Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and yet it seems that folks have become so timid or ashamed. I guess we might even use the word ashamed, that we're not even willing to talk about spiritual things. And then when you do talk about spiritual things, people look at you like, well, what are you, one of those Bible thumpers? Or are you a fanatic or something? We need to get back to where we're willing to stand up and speak the truth from the Word of God. Now, friends, if you want to join in on our discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473. Now let's give that again, 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. And I know that we have some that are listening on the web, and so just send us an email if you've got a question about this, or if you have a comment about it, keqx@rocketmail.com, or call us at 254-445-2473. You know, David, back to these four men, you know, we often talk about friends and what it is to be a friend. David, these men demonstrated what true friendship really is, didn't they?
Absolutely.
You know, the Bible tells us over in Proverbs, I think it's chapter 18 and about verse number 24, that if a man wants to have friends, he's got to show himself to be friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's talking about there that, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't have any friends. Nobody talks to me. Well, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing to show that you're a true friend? And then, of course, the last part of that verse says, and there is a friend that sticketh closer to a than a brother. Mm-hmm. And I think, and this is my think on that, that to me is a reference about Jesus and being there for us, sticking closer than even a brother. But these men demonstrated that they were friends by the way that they helped this man when he was in need.
You know, a lot of times when people have a problem, I don't know whether it's just human nature to back away and not be associated with that problem, whatever that problem may be. Now this man was a paralytic. That's the meaning of that word palsy. He was a paralytic of some kind. I don't know how paralyzed he was, but I know he couldn't get up off of his bed. And for these men to love this man enough as a friend, and to carry him through that crowd, people elbowing, you can't even get in through the front door by yourself, much less carrying a cot and three more people along with you, or four now. These individuals really showed that they were true friends of this fella, and they displayed that. And not only did they show that they were true friends, but they were going to the right source to get it fixed.
That's right.
They were going to see Jesus to get his paralysis fixed. And at this point, I want us to notice there in verse 7 what Jesus did. First of all, we said in verse 5, I'm sorry, he saw their faith and he said to the sick, he said, "Son, your sins be forgiven thee." Now, Kerry, he was worried about his paralysis. The last thing he was worried about was his sins. He wanted to get fixed. He was paralyzed and he didn't like it. And he wanted the physical part of his body tended to first. And then Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." He said, "Can't you see here? I'm paralyzed. I'm not really worried about my sins. I'm paralyzed." But Jesus knew what was right. He knew that if you got the spiritual life right, that physical part would take care of itself.
You know, David, when we were talking about this, I couldn't help but think about what Paul said. And really, I believe the point that you're making is this, that in our society today, we want to put the physical over the spiritual.
Every time.
Every time. David, it's not uncommon. And by the way, if y'all want to join us on this discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. But Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, friends, listen to what he said beginning in verse 16, Galatians 5 and verse 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." Now listen to this, David, "and these are contrary the one to the other." The flesh fights against the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit wars against the flesh. You know, Jesus told us, and I believe it's over here in about Matthew chapter 26, when he's about to be crucified. In Matthew chapter 26, and down in verse number 41, Matthew 26 and verse 41, Jesus said to his disciples, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." Now listen to this, David. "The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." You know, David, oftentimes, and you see this quite often, putting physical things above spiritual. David, I get real frustrated when someone, they're not at services and you say, "Well, you know, we missed you Wednesday night. Well, the kids had baseball last night. Or they had practice last night. Or they had this last night." David, when people start putting physical things above the spiritual, then we find ourselves in a place where spiritually we're dwarfs.
Sure.
Oh, you may be a good baseball player or a good basketball player, but are you a spiritual warrior in the kingdom of God?
Right, and that's a good question.
Yeah.
It's interesting to know. See, we're not getting off of this faith.
No.
We're right in the middle of this faith. He told them, he saw their faith. And then he said, "Your sins be forgiven you." Now, earlier, and I do believe this was earlier in his mission, in Matthew chapter 6, in that entire chapter, actually beginning in verse 24 and following, he tells everybody that you can't have it both ways.
That's
said,
right.
"You're either going to serve me or you're going to serve mammon, one or the other."
Yeah.
And that mammon is materialism or physical things. And then he goes through the litany of things that he provides for the birds that don't work. He said they feeds them. He said people worry about what they're going to wear, what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, and what they're going to live under. He said, "I provide for nature." And he said, "I'll provide for you too. But there's a condition here." Matthew chapter 6, verse 33.
That's
"Seek
right.
ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So a person has to have the faith, a faith that is based upon the word of God, that God can do, that he is able to deliver, just like he says he can deliver, but it's all contingent upon our faith. And so he sees this faith, and then he takes care of the spiritual part. Now, when, and I think that you've probably experienced this too. I know the Hillcrest Church of Christ building is right there on the highway. It's not very uncommon for people to drive by there and say, oh, there's a church building. Believe I'll go in there and get me some money. And people will come in there and they'll want money to eat or they'll want money to do whatever it is. And you offer to have a Bible study with them and they're not interested in that at all.
Yeah.
All they're interested in is the physical part, not the spiritual part. When he tells us if you'll take care of the spiritual part, the physical part will take care of itself.
You know, David, that's exactly right, and it looks like that we're up against a break right now, so we're going to be taking a break, but we want to invite you to continue to listen and be a part of our program, and the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the
Lord. The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-sized Bible. Presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Barkhides Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Friends, we want to welcome you back to the Harrison Clark Expedition. My name is Kerry Clark, and I have with me, of course, Brother David Harrison. We appreciate you tuning in to our program this afternoon. If you've been following along, we're continuing our thought on the line of keys to personal growth. And we're talking about those things that we can develop in our life that will help us to be better children of God. And, of course, we've talked about several different things. We've talked about how we need to be responsible, accept the responsibilities that God has placed upon us. We've talked about the fact that we need to be courageous, we need to be determined, and this week we're talking about initiative, and we're defining initiative as that attitude that we have where we're actually willing to step out and do things that are maybe a little bit beyond our comfort zone. And David, we're talking about Mark chapter 2, where we have four men who take a man who is paralyzed, and they actually come to where Jesus is preaching. And when they get there, they can't enter because there's too many people that are surrounding. They're in the house, they're spilling out the door, and they can't go in. So they let the roof out. They tear the roof out, let this man down. And in Mark 2 and verse number 5, it says that Jesus saw their faith. And you know, you stop and you think about it, when Jesus looked, he didn't have to ask where they stood. He knew because of the way. And David, maybe it'd be good for us to define what faith is at this point. Maybe our listeners need to understand what biblical faith is, because a lot of times I think we get definitions in our mind that really are not biblical. And we need to understand what biblical faith is, and I'm going to let you look at that.
Okay, well, Hebrews chapter 11 will give us a definition of biblical faith, and it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. But now when you try to figure out how to get faith, we want to go over here to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. The faith that God is speaking of, the faith that God demands of each and every one of us, is in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. And you can come back to this. Nearly everything that you've ever done in the Bible's got to come back to this one verse. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so your faith is no faith at all unless it comes from the word of God. I mean, just having the concept in your mind is not it. That's not enough. We've got to have a faith that actually comes from the word of God. And so when we take that word of God and put it in our mind and act that out, make the application of God's word in our mind, that is our faith, because it will have action.
And that's exactly right. And David, we had a caller during the break, and they pointed out that in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12, Paul writes to the brethren at Philippi, and he says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. Now watch that. As you have always obeyed. He says, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so the thought was, well, do I really need to be guided by anything? I can just kind of work out my own salvation, and it's really none of your business, David, what I do or how I act, because I'm working out my own salvation. Now, David, is that what that verse of Scripture is telling us?
No, it's not at all. If we're going to work out our own salvation, we're going to do it through the Word of God and
That's right.
The faith that is produced through that Word of God. As we've mentioned over and over and over again, if people will get this one verse in their head, then they're not going to be concerned about is it some kind of a blind faith? Is it some kind of a leap of faith? No, it is a faith that comes from the Word of God. And that is God's will revealed through the pages of our Bible.
And that's exactly right, friends. And so we must be guided. Now, go back to what we read earlier in Galatians chapter 5, David. It said that we're to not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And when he talks about walking after the Spirit, we are guided by the Word of God. And the Word of God was inspired and revealed to man by or through the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so if we're being guided by the Spirit, we're guided by the Word that the Spirit has revealed, and that is for us to live by the New Testament.
Right.
We're guided by the New Testament. Friends, you know, we often hear in discussions about mechanical instruments of music in the worship to God, we often hear people say, well, David did it in the Old Testament. Well, that's fine. David did a lot of things in the Old Testament that we don't do today. And so when we're talking about being faithful people. When we're talking about being spiritual people, we're talking about people who are guided by the New Testament for everything that they do, for everything that they say. And David, I know that you know this verse of Scripture as well as I do, but friends, if you've got your Bible, you might open to Colossians chapter 3, and you might notice that Paul says this. And by the way, I say Paul says that he's inspired of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this, friends. Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. David, to do something in the name of the Lord is to do it by His authority.
By His authority. And the only way we have His authority is by what is written and given to us.
That's right. In the Word of God.
Right. In the Word of God.
The Bible. The New Testament. Now, friends, you understand in the name of, in this light. Because a lot of time, you know, I was studying with a guy that was a member of a denomination one time, and he talked about, he would say something, he'd say, now I'm doing that in the name of Jesus. You know, and all the time, well, I'm driving that nail in the name of Jesus. And I'm not exaggerating, folks. That's what he did. And, you know, I pointed out that to do something in the name of Jesus is not to repeat those words over and over again, but it's to do it according to His authority. And I use this illustration with this man, David. When a policeman knocks on your door, and hopefully this doesn't happen to you, but if he knocks on your door at midnight and says, open the door in the name of the law, he doesn't then say, I'm stepping in your house in the name of the law. I'm doing this in the name of means by the authority I've been granted.
Right.
And so when it says to do something in the name of the Lord, he is in essence saying, go to the book, look at what I've told you to do, and do it by my authority or by my power.
Right. Get the authority to do it. Folks, the number to call is 254-445-2473, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Kerry, I'd like to get back to Mark chapter 2 again.
Okay.
And I want us to see here in verse 5, 6, and 7. Now, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, your sins be forgiven thee. Now, these scribes, there were certain scribes that were sitting there reasoning within their heart. That's what verse number 6. Now, these scribes are transcribers of the law of Moses. They are rewriters of the book, and they don't make a mistake. They don't put their opinion, their slant, their commentary on anything. They write it just exactly as they see it. So these men are very, very well versed in the law of Moses, in God's law. And so in verse 7, they say to themselves, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Now, what I want to point out here is that Jesus Christ saw their faith, and he forgave the man's sins.
Yes.
Now, they did not have a problem with him healing the man of his physical ailment. What they were having a problem with, him healing the man of his spiritual ailment.
Yes.
And isn't that the very same thing that we run into today? We have the radical homosexual agenda coming at us. They have a problem called AIDS that was exclusively a homosexual disease for a while. Now it's spread on way on beyond that. But now, if any person wanted to come heal them of that physical disease, that would be fine and dandy. But if somebody came and told them that I've got a spiritual healing for you, it's called the Word of God, you can produce your faith through this Word of God, you can be spiritually healed, they wouldn't take it.
Well, David, sadly, many of them wouldn't. And that's what's frustrating sometimes. When you're dealing with people, they don't want to accept the spiritual implications of what God told them to do. They want to live the way that they want to live, regardless of what God has said about it.
Right.
And that's sad. And that's being guided by the flesh and not being guided by the Spirit.
Absolutely.
I believe we have a caller. Caller, if you don't mind, just give us your first name and then your question or your comment.
Well, y'all might be getting tired of me. This is Jason again.
Hey, Jason.
I went to a worship service one time where I heard, I think, the best definition of faith that I ever heard, and it's a biblical one. And we, the preacher got up, and he said, I'm going to define faith for you. And, of course, everybody in the audience, we're turning over to Hebrews 11 and 1.
Right.
But he turned to Titus 1 and verse 2.
Okay.
In hope of eternal life, in which God, who cannot lie.
Oh.
He said, that's faith, believing that God cannot lie to you. And that's what I think we're getting at with all of this. You go through the scripture, and for instance, one he went to was Galatians 3:6. Abraham believed God. It doesn't say he just believed in God. He believed God.
Right.
That God wouldn't lie to him. God told him to do this. And, you know, I think about things in my own life. Of course, Carrie, you know some of my story, that I had a major health problem last year. And one of the things that it really started bothering me after that was that spiritually I had not been what I needed to be. I had taken jobs where I was having to be absent from worship quite a bit and things like that. And, you know, I decided, and I couldn't go back to work after this health problem and what I was doing. And when I finally got to the point I was able to go back to work, I thought about it and I thought, well, that's not what I need to be doing. I need to find something that allows me to be the spiritual person that I need to be. And since putting that into God's hands, you know, it's like David said, I believe it's where is it? I can't think of it now in the Psalms. I've never seen the righteous begging bread.
Yes. Right.
You know, I've gotten down to points in the last year while I've been working on securing something where I don't have to spend my Sundays at work. I've gotten down to points where, you know, the cupboards look kind of bare, but God's always come through for me.
Right.
Because he knows I'm working on my spiritual, and I don't call that a miracle, I call that the providence of God.
Amen.
I call that believing God in what he said, that if you'll do what I want you to do, and if you'll take that step, take the initiative to be the kind of person that I want you to be, then I'm going to take care of you.
All right, you know, this reminds me of exactly what Jesus was trying to tell us in Matthew chapter 6 when he's talking about priorities. And he's contrasting the spiritual, the physical, the spiritual, the physical, the spiritual, the physical. And he's saying, you got to take your priorities. You got to make your priorities here. And your priority has to be spiritual first, physical second. I'll take care of the physical part if you will just take care of the spiritual part, and he will never lie about that.
Exactly.
And you know, Jason,
every day it's something you have to work on every day. I mean, I find myself every day thinking, you know, I've got to do this and I need to do, but let's work on getting the spiritual right, and then the physical is going to take care of itself.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Jason, that verse you were referring to, Psalm 37 and verse 25, David wrote, I've been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
Mm-hmm.
And you couple that with Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, you put God first and the church first, he'll take care of the physical things. And I think you're exactly right when you tie those verses together. God said, you put me first, and I'll take care of you. And David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging bread. God will provide, and you mentioned it a moment ago. That's what providence is.
Exactly.
That's God providing for us.
It's providential care.
That's right.
Anyway, that's my 2 cents on it. I appreciate your program.
You bet.
Well,
thank you for
Jason.
Calling, Jason.
Thank
appreciate you.
You
very much.
You know, friends, when you stop and you think about that Psalm 37 and verse 25, David said, you know, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Friends, God will never forsake us. Now, we can forsake God, David, but God's not ever going to give up on us. Now, we might live our life and give up on God, but we don't have to worry about God ever giving up on us, because he's never, never going to turn his back on his people. And well, you can mark that down.
Well, the same God that says, I will not lie,
yes,
cannot lie. It's not that he will not lie, it's that he cannot lie. It is a physical impossibility for him to lie.
Yeah.
He also says, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Yeah.
I will be there. But now we've got to be there on his terms.
That's right.
We've got to. We can't just choose our terms. We can't get ourselves in some sinful situation, such as an adulterous situation or a fornicating situation, and then say, "Well, here I am, God. Where are you?
Yeah.
You say you won't forsake me." Now we can't get ourselves and force God to come to where we are. We've got to come to where he wants us to be, and that is out of sin and presenting ourselves to him. A righteous individual, and that word righteous has been used as a derogatory term by those individuals that don't like it. And all in the world that means is right according to God, and the only way that we're going to be right according to God is to know what his word has to say to us.
You know, David, it would be silly for us to think that, if you want to become a mechanic, an auto mechanic, Do you not go and get some kind of training before you launch in, say, I'm a mechanic?
Absolutely, and you also get a manual.
Yeah, and you know, the point being that when I go down and I take my automobile to the shop, there's a little plaque up there that says this guy completed this course, and he's now certified to work on that. As a child of God, David, we've got to get into the book, know the book, so that we can be certified, if you want to call it such, to even be a child of God. You know, this idea that I just accidentally wake up one morning and I'm a Christian, well, that's not in the Bible.
No, and a person does not become a Christian by accident. And folks, if we want to get in on this conversation, call us at 254-445-2473 or email us at keqx@rocketmail.com, and we're going to have to take a little break here. We'll come back in just a wee bit.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the
Pony Lord. Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-sized Bible. Presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Park Heights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. We are here tonight, Carrie Clark and myself, David Harris, and we're talking about initiative and how tremendously important it is for one's spiritual growth to have this initiative, to step out and get maybe beyond your comfort zone, as Carrie has made mention a couple of times tonight, and do something in the service of God. And this will involve more than just sitting in the pew. This will involve more than just being around other Christians. This is going to involve service and commitment to the Lord. Now, we've been talking about faith because we've been in Mark chapter 2, and we saw the illustration where Jesus saw their faith. He healed the man of his spiritual maladies, which were his sins. And then at that particular time, these scribes couldn't quite understand just exactly how it was that he could be doing that, because only God forgives sins. Well, all in the world that proves to us is that Jesus Christ is God,
yeah.
God the Son.
That's
and,
right.
And so we go on there, and we see he asked them, why reason ye things in your heart, whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, your sins be forgiven, you are to save, arise and take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins. He says to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up your bed, and go your way into your house. And so he shows them and proves by the miraculous healing of the physical that, yes, he can indeed also heal the spiritual. Now, we're looking at faith, and faith is something that is, Jason called in just a moment ago and said, you know, a great illustration of faith is that God cannot lie, and we need to believe that, and that's a great illustration. But we also need to understand that the kind of faith that God is talking about, the kind of faith that comes through this Word of God, is the kind of faith that saves. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 again. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But this kind of faith that we're talking about here, it will save us. It is a working faith. Jesus could see it, and so should everybody else.
That's right.
Now, Carrie, I understand we got a couple of emails during the break.
Yes, we got one from Rick, and it says, gentlemen, good study tonight. Our faith is like fire, and references 1 Peter chapter 5, First Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. But he says, our faith is like fire. It needs to be fed. And then he says, Peter tells us how daily, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. So we want to look at these verses and comment about what Rick said. And I like that idea about our faith is like fire. You got to feed it. Friends, if you don't add more fuel to the fire, it's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to have the kind of faith that we're building upon, as Rick pointed out, daily. But it says in First Peter chapter 1 in verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God, watch this, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so our faith holds us unto salvation. And then, of course, David, he quotes 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse number 5, where it says, and beside this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. Then he says in verse number 8, which I love, for if these things be in you and abound.
Mm-hmm.
That's feeding that fire every day. That's adding more fuel.
That's initiative.
Yeah, that's initiative. He says, if these things be in you and abound, They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins.
Right.
David, we need to add fuel to the fire every day. As a matter of fact, we need to do it more than just every day. If you go out and build a great big bonfire, if you don't add a little kindling to it after a while or a little more fuel to it after a while, it's going to burn out and it's going to die out.
That's right. I want to mention also, it says here, Rick, our listener, is from Oklahoma. So we've got at least one listener up there in Oklahoma, and we appreciate you, Rick. I want to go back to that passage that you read just a moment ago in 1 Peter chapter 1, Kerry, because I think there's something extremely important that we find in verse number 7 of chapter 1. It says that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Friends, our faith has got to be tried. Because if we have a faith that isn't tried, it's just a word. Because faith doesn't even become faith at all until it is tried. Oh, it's easy to be a Christian if you never get tried.
Yeah.
It's easy to be a Christian if you never have to make a decision between that which is right and that which is wrong. It's easy to be a Christian if you never have to stand up for the honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But when you are tried and when your faith is tried and you do take initiative, then you're going to find out what you're made out of.
And, you know, David, as you were saying that, I couldn't help but think about how easy was it for Jesus to go to the cross?
Oh, it couldn't have been easy at all.
You know, you stop and you read, like in Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus is going to the Garden of Gethsemane and he's pouring out his heart to God. And this is the verse that we alluded to or read earlier about Matthew 26 and verse number 41. Jesus is pouring out his heart to God, and he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. His disciples are going with him, and some of them stay behind, and he said, you three come on and go with me, Peter, James, and John, if I remember correctly. I'm shooting from the hip on that, but I think that's who it was. And he says for them to stop. He said, now I'm going to go a little bit farther, and I'm going to pray, and I want you to stay here and pray. And David, they fell asleep.
Right.
Physical over the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus comes back and they're asleep and he wakes them up and he said, this is all paraphrasing, folk, but he said, you don't realize this is fixing to be the worst night imaginable. You need to start praying. And he goes off and he starts praying. And guess what they did? They fell asleep. Three times he wakes them up. And then he says, fellas, it's too late now. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then, you know what happens? They deny Jesus. Peter denies Jesus. And all that time, if they had have had the spiritual fortitude that Jesus had, and they had been praying, give us strength. We're going into the battle, Lord. Give us strength. But they didn't do that because, oh, I'm sleepy. You know, I'm sleepy and I'm going to doze off. David, we have another email, and this is from Deborah. And she says, it's all about priorities and doing what's right. I don't understand why people are willing to spend extra time for their jobs or make sure all aspects of their family life is taken care of and they make sure that they're healthy. But when it comes to religion, they act like it's an imposition. I just wonder what God and Jesus' reaction will be when people try to justify skipping worship and Bible studies for work, vacations, birthdays, parties, company visiting, sports, and anything that takes us away from God and Jesus. You know, David, Deborah said a mouthful there.
Well, did she?
She just skipped the preaching and went right to meddling, didn't she?
she got in her hip pocket on that one. But it's very true. It's we're talking again about faith, and that's what this Mark chapter 2 is all about, and that's what he's teaching us about here. That we've got to get our priorities right. It's got to be the spiritual first, the physical second, and it doesn't make any difference what that physical may be. And a lot of people say, well, you know, we got to live. Yes, we do have to live. But we've got to have our priorities too. And if it is that our faith is what it ought to be, it will stand the test of the fire. It will stand the test of the trial. And a lot of the times, it's not about standing up in a combative sense. It's standing up for what is right versus what is pleasurable, such as a ball game.
Right, right. You know, David, I often think about this idea. Well, you know, we've got to live. Mm-hmm. We've got to live. And, you know, David, there's been many, many times that people have said, well, you know, preacher, we're just struggling to make a living. They've got a house. They've got two cars. They've got a boat. They've got cell phones. Their kids have cell phones. And they act as if they're just barely struggling to get by, and yet they have all these things. And I think Deborah has a very good point. We've got to get our priorities right in this matter.
Right, and live within our means. We have a caller on the line. Caller, would you give us your first name and give us your comment, please?
My name is Mike.
Yes, Mike.
Yeah, really, I was sitting there listening to y'all, and really appreciate y'all's show. Really appreciate the comments y'all are making and the stance y'all have for the truth.
Appreciate that.
You know, I was thinking about what y'all were saying, and really it all, the bottom line is this. How bad do you want to go to heaven?
That's it.
And really, a lot of people want to go to heaven, just don't want to do what it takes to get there.
You're exactly right.
So, you know, we think about priorities, and I really love the contrast that y'all are making, you know, physical and spiritual. And truth be told, the spiritual should always override the physical. When you look at Matthew chapter 3, and Jesus was dealing with Satan in the wilderness, well, he was being tempted physically, but the spiritual always overruled the physical.
You're exactly right. As a matter of fact, he overruled it every time when he says, "For it is written," and he's going right back to the source of faith when he quotes that quote. There, it is written. He's talking about the origin of our faith, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, Mike, sometimes I think we've allowed things to influence us and cloud our understanding of the Word of God, and it seems to me that we have allowed this concept that has been brought in my estimation, by many of the Eastern religions, that if you're a spiritual man, that means you sit up on a mountain and you cross your legs and say for about an hour, and that makes you spiritual.
No, sir.
and Mike, how far is that from what the Bible teaches?
Far-fetched.
but
live godly must suffer persecution.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Hey, we appreciate that.
Appreciate y'all's show, and keep the faith.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate that very much. We have another caller on the line. Caller, if you'll give us your first name, we're not there yet. we're not there yet. In Luke chapter 17, Kerry, in verse number 10, when Jesus is talking about faith here, and when he tells them all these things which they need to do, and having the servant needing to do the things that he needs to do, he says, "So likewise, when you have done all of these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." Unprofitable servants for doing just what we're supposed to do and going through the motions here. We haven't even yet begun to show the faith that Jesus saw in those four men back in Mark chapter 2.
Yes. I believe we do have a caller on the line. Caller, if you don't mind, just give us your first name and then your question or comment.
Yeah, this is Barry. Matthew 17:17. A while ago you were talking about feeding the faith. You have to, like, feeding a fire.
Right.
And remember, there was a man, I believe his son was a paralytic, epileptic. Anyway, his apostles couldn't heal him, and so Jesus went ahead and healed him. And he goes in there and he comments that they could not perform the works that Christ has set out for them to do because of their lack of faith. I would like for you to look at that and comment on it, please, sir.
All right. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 17.
Yes, sir.
Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured the very hour. You know, Barry, you bring up a very good point, because he tells them in verse number 20, if you just had the faith of the size of a grain of a mustard seed. Now, David, a mustard seed's not very big.
No, it's as a matter of fact, it's extremely small.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of faith that that is that powerful faith that comes from the Word of God.
Well, when I develop in my life, David, and I say that God's not going to lie, and when God says that I need to hear the Word of God to be a Christian, then I'm going to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And when God says I need to believe that Word, I'm going to believe that Word. And when God says to repent, I'm going to repent. And when God says to confess, I'm going to confess. And when God says to be baptized, David, I'm going to be baptized.
If you've got the faith, you're going
to. That's right. Friends, we're getting real close to being out of time this evening. I can't believe the old saying, time flies when you're having fun, is exactly right. But David, we've had a good study. We've talked about initiative, trying to get people beyond their comfort zone to step out, launch out into the deep, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus told Peter, you know, just throw your net out there in the deep. And Peter said, but Lord, we've been toiling all night. We hadn't caught a thing. But nevertheless, at thy word. And they did what Jesus said, and they brought home a catch that was phenomenal. Friends, we've got to step out in faith, doing the will of God, and the world may mock us, they may ridicule us, but if we're doing what's right on the day of judgment, God will bless us. David, I'm going to allow you or let you have the last word here.
Okay, well, folks, we really appreciate you tuning in tonight. I know there were some callers that didn't get to get through, and we apologize for that. Perhaps you can call in next week. We would love to have you listen and call in. And we probably are going to stay right here on this initiative,
yes,
at least till we get through with it. We've got another couple of points that we didn't even get around to, and they're very, very important points concerning initiative. But, folks, we want you to listen. We want you to really remember that you have heard what men have had to say, and now listen to what the Bible has to say. That's been our motto all along. And if we'll stay with that and do things according to the Word of God, we're all going to be blessed. May God bless America. Kerry?
Well, thank you, and may God bless you as you study His divine Word.